keeping it real here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Buck is still laughing at the other end of the desk.
I am dying over here. That's like a nightmare come true. Like, I've dreamed about that my whole life of broadcasting, is that you get to the set and you have no, like, I used to dream literally that I would get to my set, get ready to start my sportscast or my newscast, and I not only had no scripts, I would have no tapes.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Remember nothing, when we used to have to bring the stack of tapes, and I always dreamed I forgot to give it to them. Yeah. And I was like, that was what I felt like right there. That helpless feeling of being locked out of your computer. Your entire script is in the computer, and I'm going, oh, my God. I can't get in. I am literally had to ad lib that entire.
Think how reliant we are now on the computers, and you didn't have it, and it was gone.
No,
like in the good old days, at least you had a 5 thick carbon copy of what you just typed out on your IBM Selectric, and that's gone.
Prompters would go down all the time. No problem. I got this paper script in front of me. Well, we've become so dependent on our computers.
We were just talking about that before the news.
We were. We said, what would happen if we lost electricity, like in the world, if there was a grid shutdown?
Oh, my gosh.
How
like
your
chaos
life,
that would break out.
Oh, total chaos. I mean, your whole life depends on it.
And then your computer shut down.
My script would be the last thing I'd be worried about, right?
I mean, I saw a great meme the other day. It said, I wonder what happened to that part of my brain that used to know the phone numbers of every one of my friends.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't know any of the numbers anymore. You just your phone call it.
And could you not still remember most of those numbers?
I can remember a lot of them. Remember my home phone number, certainly.
Yeah, my best friend's number, I'd remember that for sure, because I'd call him, you know, 3 times a day.
Yeah.
But yeah, but boy, oh, man, I'm just sitting there going. So if you're wondering, like, why was Dan kind of meandering? Because I had no script.
You did a great job.
Kim says it was live theater.
It was live. She probably felt my pain. But, I'm going to start printing them out as a backup. I'm just saying. That will never happen again.
At least one copy of something to grab.
Exactly.
All right. Glad you are back here with us on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Ryan Schmell is coming up shortly. Da-dum, da-dum. We need some Jaws music here. There might be a government shutdown.
Who cares?
I sort of feel the same way you do. It's anticlimactic at this point.
And keep in mind, when people say shutdown, it doesn't mean like no Social Security checks go out. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be Medicaid. All that continues to operate. They have what they call essential programs that always will continue to run. I just don't know if I'd notice if...
If you're not dependent on a government program...
Well, that's true.
You probably wouldn't notice it. But like, you're right, those essential things like...
Social Security,
Section
Medicaid.
8, all that stuff's getting paid.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there will be some people affected. Whenever I say that, somebody calls up and says, well, my so-and-so cousin works for such-and-such, and they're not going to get their paycheck. And I'm like, well, they'll get paid. It may just take a week or two, but they will eventually get paid for whatever has happened here. Here's the thing about it. It's a political ploy. And normally it gets hung around the neck of the Republicans, and that's what the Democrats are trying to do right now. But the Republicans, if you listen to John Thune, they've already got the bill sitting there waiting to be voted on that would continue the government at current spending levels.
Right.
2 months. And the Democrats are refusing to sign it. They will not play ball, period.
Because they think they can hold us hostage with their threat of shutting down. But yet they'll still blame us for the shutdown. It makes no sense. Like they're saying, well, we'll shut down government if you don't give us everything we want. So you are willing to shut down the government for your reckless spending.
Do you remember when under the Obama administration, the government shut down and the Obama administration sent people out to rope off the World War II Museum just to try to make people feel the pain of what Republicans have put them through, even though that's not a museum. It's just a sculpture. It's outdoor.
Yeah, it's an
There's
exhibit.
No reason that there were people in wheelchairs, veterans who came to D.C. to see the World War II Memorial, and they couldn't roll their wheelchairs down the ramps to see it because the Obama administration had put barriers around it ordered the Park Service to put barriers around it. And there's just no reason for that. It was purely political.
If the shutdown happens, does the IRS stop working so we wouldn't maybe have to pay our taxes during that period or not? I probably don't know. They're probably still working.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Anyway.
The taxes keep going, but the spending just halts.
That's for sure. All right, we're going to get to all that for you coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But first of all, we want to get to our top stories. Hit it.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
We must fight fire with fire. So CBC, let's get to work.
All right, Kamala Harris calling for more fire in a crowded theater. I don't know what she's thinking about. The woman who wanted to be president, who claims it was the closest election of the 21st century. I don't know what she's been sipping on between speeches, but that's what Kamala said this weekend at a Congressional Black Caucus meeting.
So everybody's sitting around saying, my God, I can't believe Trump's doing this. You had to know Trump was going to be like this. Number one, because he's Donald Trump, but also number two, because of everything that they put him through.
That's Charlemagne the God. I don't know if you listen to the guy, but he's got a network syndicated show. He's a hard left Democrat, but occasionally he hits the truth on the he hits the nail on the head when it comes to the truth.
Him and Stephen Smith both kind of flipping on us.
You did this to him. You can't be surprised, even if most of us don't believe that's exactly what's going on here.
We've made clear that we're ready, willing, and able to sit down with anyone at any time and at any place in order to make sure that we can actually fund the government, avoid a painful Republican caused shutdown, and address the health care crisis that Republicans have caused.
There it is, Hakeem, right at the very end. Address the health care crisis. So they what they want to do is they're afraid these Obamacare subsidies are going to go away. Always remember, Obamacare only works if you don't. If they strip the subsidies out of it, even the people who love it are suddenly not going to love it anymore.
There are many things that he could have been indicted for, but the statute of limitations ran out on so many of those matters.
Yep, that's Mike Johnson talking about James Comey. We've talked about it a few times this morning. Hopefully you listened to our interview with Greg Jarrett last hour, and we talked to Hans von Spakovsky earlier. And both of these are legal experts who both admitted that it might be a tough legal road to get him convicted on this, which is a shame, but, you know, innocent or proven guilty. James Comey drove the fake Russian collusion hoax. He was in the driver's seat along with Mueller. All of the things that happened there happened because of James Comey. And the statute of limitations has expired on most of that. I pray they get him on the online to Congress, but I don't know. If those two esteemed legal minds or think it's a tough road, we'll be biting our nails for this thing's over.
I think a lot depends on the whistleblowers. Who at the DOJ, FBI are going to be willing to roll on him of what he knew, what he directed, what he actually told them to do. McCabe being one. Has McCabe changed, you know, to save his own butt? Has he actually agreed to come forward? There's a lot to come out of this. I think just the trial alone is going to expose a lot, regardless of whether they get him on the lying to Congress. I think they will take the opportunity to talk about all the corruption in that DOJ while he was there and the FBI.
Yeah, very true. Yeah. We'll see. We'll have to wait and see what happens with that one. But let's hope they're doing their due diligence on that. Coming up, we'll check in with our buddy Ryan Schmelz, who is a St. Louisan himself. We will find out what he's covering up there in D.C., which is, of course, only the government shutdown. That's all that matters in D.C. is whether the lights are still going to be on up there in about 48 hours. A little less than that, actually. We'll get to Ryan right after the break.
Totally up to the Democrats. This is the ball is in their court. There is a bill sitting at the desk in the Senate right now. We could pick it up today and pass it that has been passed by the House that will be signed into law by the president to keep the government open.
There you have it. John Thune yesterday saying, we're ready to go, trying to point fingers at the Democrats. We got Ryan Schmelz on the phone right now from Fox News Radio. Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing good, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing fine. So I guess if they don't get this figured out in this meeting today, Washington goes dark, correct?
Yeah, well, pretty much, I think if this meeting, they don't figure out this meeting today, the chances of a government shutdown are very, 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 very likely.
Yeah.
There could be an anomaly where you have this vote on a motion to proceed on the bill that Leader Thune was just alluding to there that would avoid a government shutdown. You know, it needs 60 votes. You know, there could be some Democrats who decide, you know what, we got a good deal on the table. It's not that bad. Let's avoid a shutdown, and they might vote to proceed. But hey, that's going to be a highly unlikely thing to happen because you're going to need upwards of 9 or so Democrats to be willing to do that, and they just simply, so far, only one said that they are willing to do it.
Wow. So, no way, the Republicans have 53. Would they just need 7?
Well, you have Rand Paul as a no, and okay. Lisa Murkowski voted no last time. So you had John Fetterman, that gets you up to 52. So right then you need 8 more after that. So
wow.
It's the math is a little rough. Now, I think Murkowski could be somebody who's willing to flip, but it's going to be hard to get Rand Paul to a yes on that.
Well, it's just a continuing resolution, right? Basically?
Pretty much, yeah. It actually does spend a little bit more money because there's a funding in there, a couple $1 million for member security, lawmakers, President Trump's cabinet, as well as the judicial branch. But besides that, it's pretty much, it's a clean extension of government funding. And that's why you hear Republicans make the argument that they feel this is actually a pretty good deal. So why not just take it?
What are the main points that the Democrats are trying to fight on? Everyone hears the Medicaid argument. They want the money to still go to illegals, and they want those Obama incentives or the gap funding that the Obama tax credits or whatever they were, they want that reinstated. And the Republicans spent a lot of time on DOGE to clean up a lot of those deficit problems, right?
Yeah, and so pretty much health care is what the Democrats have latched onto as the main debate point. They want these Obamacare subsidies, the tax credits that are expiring at the end of the year to be included in this package. And Republicans have pushed back and said, well, no, we think that's something that should be decided separate from a government funding package and, to be reformed in at least some capacity. So it's something that Republicans are interested in. You know, we've definitely talked to a number of them who want to see these incentives at least extended in some regard. But at the same time, the Republicans haven't been willing to budge on putting it into a government funding package. And so that's where the hang-up's been.
Yeah. And now, when is the deadline? Is it tomorrow night at midnight?
Tomorrow at midnight, yep. So Wednesday at 12:00:01.
And the essentials, they always say, oh, it's going to affect Social Security. Most of the essential programs continue, correct? So your
correct.
Social Security checks still go out. The Medicaid payments still continue to go to hospitals and medical groups.
Yeah.
The big things are the kind of the non-emergency stuff, right? State parks federal parks, right? Federal parks will shut
parks.
Down.
Yeah, well, employees are going to probably miss some paychecks here and there, which can be a major problem with rent payments being due coming up soon. But I think the big one usually is that if this drags on for a while, sometimes TSA can start being affected, and that has a ripple effect where everyone can have a headache from that if your TSA is ever short-staffed or anything, honestly.
Military not impacted,
is it TSA impacted because of people who are contract employees? Is that the reason?
Well, they start missing their paychecks. Some of them start getting furloughed. So it's pretty much, the air traffic and kind of the securities that you see at the airport are going to become more challenging. So that's probably the big one to watch for early on. But there's some other ones, too. But in the meantime, yes, it's not going to be a major, skyrocketing of change at first. But it's when these things start to drag on when they become a huge problem.
Yeah. Well, I'm not asking you to go too far outside of your bounds as a reporter here, but in the past, this always seems to have been hung politically on the Republicans for shutting down government. I guess they're hedging their bets that they've got the upper hand this time.
There is a level of confidence in this one that Republicans feel that this could be the first one, in their words, to be blamed solely on the Democrats. And Republicans have kind of unified around this messaging, calling it the Schumer shutdown. So Republicans certainly do believe that this is going to be something that comes back on Democrats if they refuse to take the offer on the table, which they think is a very good offer. But obviously things could change in this meeting today. We'll see.
In the meantime, nobody's talking about Epstein or maybe even Comey right now.
Yeah. Well, they need to keep the government open if they want to vote on the Epstein file stuff. So let's keep that in mind.
Yeah, that's a good point. Ryan Schmelz, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Hey, have a good one, Mark. Thank you.
We'll talk to you again soon. Yeah.
Always good. St. Louis, too, by the way.
He is.
He's from here in St. Louis.
He is.
Good. If you want to go up to the Arch, this may be your best chance in the next month. Do it in the next couple of days if you feel like going to the Federal Park downtown.
I think they'll buckle. I mean, Schumer took a lot of heat for it last time. I think that's why he doesn't want to do it this time.
Let's have a bourbon bet on that one.
It's
shutting down.
You think it's shutting down?
I think it's shutting down.
All right. Yep. We'll see. We'll toast Wednesday morning, one way or the other.
All right.
I got some desk bourbon in there. Trust me. Okay. We'll get that taken care of. Coming up, Tommy Ackerman in studio on the Mizzou versus Alabama in 2 weeks. Stay tuned.
Great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball is really not a hard sport.
It is Anchorman, not Anchorlady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's. Reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
All right, Tom Ackerman in studio. Right, I don't know to start, man. Ryder Cup, Indiana football, Mizzou football. I mean, we got
what does your audience want?
The Cardinals in their season.
That's what I always do this time of year. I think, what does my audience want?
I'm thinking Mizzou, Alabama in 2 weeks. What do you think?
I think that is going to be the determination as to whether Missouri is considered seriously in the SEC or not. Missouri right now, if you asked someone at Mizzou, of course, they're going to say, yeah, we're good. I mean, they're 5-0, and they're really good. They're 19th in the country. If you ask someone in the SEC about Missouri, they're like, they could be good.
Soft schedule?
No, not, I mean, the second half of the schedule certainly
isn't.
Not the second half, but the first half. Yeah, like so far, you know, they've beaten South Carolina, and that was a great win. They beat Kansas. Solid, a great rivalry. But, yeah, most people in the SEC would say, they're fine. They'll be considered a playoff contender if they beat Alabama in 2 weeks. Illinois, you know, they got shellacked by Indiana 63-10. They turned around and they beat USC on Saturday. They're back in consideration as a team that's in the top 25. They're ranked 22. Now, they spring one on Ohio State in 2 weeks. They've got to beat Purdue on the road coming up this Saturday. But if they can find a way to upset Ohio State in 2 weeks, now you're talking college football playoff picture again. Those two teams right now, Missouri's ahead of them, but Missouri's got a great, great game on their hands. My team, Indiana, is 5-0. Solid win at Iowa. Jeez, I mean, that I knew that was going to be a slog. You know, yeah. Iowa plays, they never fumble the ball away. They always tackle hard.
Tough at home.
They are always, always tough at home. They love to keep the game low scoring. They do the same thing over and over, and they have for like 20 years. run, short pass on third down, first down. Run. You know, that's just what they do. And they just picked it apart, and then Indiana found a way to win the game. Indiana's 5-0. They're off this weekend. They have a huge one coming up the same day as Mizzou and Illinois do. They're playing at Oregon. Now, they'll go in there thinking, we can change this whole thing if we can pull one on Oregon. Oregon's great. Right. Oregon beat Penn State. Indiana fans are going to say, hey, you lose this one, doesn't hurt you. I mean, in the playoffs, you lose this one, it doesn't hurt you.
Right.
Kurt Cignetti, the Indiana coach, is going to say, forget that. We're going to go in there. I'm going to tell these guys, we're going to go in there and win this thing. So, you know, college football is going to be very interesting. 3, 4, and 5 all lost on Saturday. Penn State, LSU, and Georgia all lost. They've been replaced in the standings now in the top 25. Oregon's up to 2. Miami dropped to 3. Ole Miss is up to 4. And Oklahoma's 5. But Oklahoma doesn't have their quarterback. Their quarterback, Mateer, who's tremendous, is injured and will be out for at least a couple of games. So this thing's going to get flipped around again. probably, and it's going to get very, very interesting.
So did Indiana move up? They were 11th, right?
They're 8 now, yeah.
They're at 8, yep. Okay.
The parity in college football is fun.
It's
I mean,
great.
You're seeing a lot of upsets. 4 of the top 10 lose this week.
Alabama beat Georgia. You know, they're kind of back in the picture. Yeah, it's like a little NFL now.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's getting paid, and teams are... You know,
it's
starting
true.
To even out a little bit. I mean, you just don't, there is no dominant team, and everybody's kind of in the game, and you have a 12-team playoff, and it should get really interesting. I mean, I'll tell you that Penn State, you know, everybody now wants to fire the coach because James Franklin can't win a big game. Like, hello, they just lost to Oregon. Oregon's great.
Great team.
They were a national semifinalist last year. And Penn State can get in the playoff. I mean, they can be a top 12 in the college football playoff. They got to keep winning. So, yeah, it's going to get wild. Everybody thinks they know, and then the next week it changes. I love it.
Let's flip to the hunt for October, all right? The Major League Baseball wild card starts tomorrow night. I love 3 teams in this playoff.
Okay.
All right.
Who you got?
I got, well, the Brewers at $116 million payroll,
uh-huh.
Guardians at $100 million payroll, and the Tigers, and the Reds even. I mean, you're talking teams in the lower tier. Those 4 teams I'd love to see advance because they're so low on the payroll.
You could take 3 of those teams, combine their payrolls, and they wouldn't get to the New York Mets payroll. And the Mets are out.
And the Dodgers, too, at 300.
It's a beautiful thing.
Dodgers.
And I picked the Mets to win the World Series.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I thought they were, they should be in the playoffs.
On paper.
That is a colossal collapse and a disgrace, actually. If I were a Mets fan, I would be incensed. Those
the
players,
Dodgers are not out, are they?
Dodgers are
out. Oh,
I'm talking
they?
About the Mets.
Yeah,
the Mets.
The Mets are, what a disappointment.
Yeah.
I mean, what a disappointment they are. That those players let that thing go for 3.5 months, basically, and thought, oh, we'll be all right, and now they're on the outside. And the Reds found a way to get in there, and the Mets are out. But, yeah, you're right. And that's actually very good news for Cardinals fans, and it's good news for Chaim Bloom, because when he addresses the media tomorrow on KMOX at 10 o'clock in the morning, he is going to say that we can do this, and here's how we're going to do it. We're going to draft. We're going to develop. We're going to be a strong, we want to be the strongest minor league system again. The Cardinals invented the farm system. The Cardinals have always been the farm system that everybody envied, and that's what we're going to get back to being. That's what he's going to say on Tuesday, and he's going to lay out a plan on how to do that. And the Cardinals want to be that. They want to be the Brewers.
Yeah.
Again, they should look at the Reds situation and say we can get there. And on it goes. That's how you build it. You do not have to throw down $300 million to achieve this, nor can the Cardinals do that anyway. Now, you know, there's the haves and have-nots, as John Mozeliak laid out to me yesterday in our conversation, and that has changed baseball, and so the Cardinals can't rely on attendance and TV revenue anymore. You know, they used to get away with it. They could, as a small market team, because they had high attendance and that huge TV deal. That has changed dramatically. So now you have to go back to, you must draft and develop and develop your own stars and then retain them.
Can you tell me he took part of the blame for that?
Of course he does.
Did he take it? Did he admit, you know, we didn't put the
He's done it many times.
Yeah.
He's done it many times.
Seats.
That they just could not sustain it. And, you know, that's on his watch. But he did have it to the point where everybody copied him. You know, he developed the team that was number one. The Cardinals had the best organization in baseball under his watch also.
Yeah.
So you can't sit there and crush him for 3 years and not acknowledge the prior 27. Because Mozeliak, when he became general manager in 2007, set out to build the minor league system to be the envy of baseball. It's exactly what he did. In 2011, they took all of those stars. They won the World Series. And on top of it, they were Organization of the Year. And everybody started to try to copy what they did. And now they've all done that. And the Cardinals thought they had that system that could sustain years, and it did not. It started to fall back. Now they're reallocating the resources to it. And that's and by the way, their minor league system right now is not that bad. I mean, the Springfield Cardinals just won the Texas League.
Texas League championship.
They're considered to be the number 9 or 10 minor league system in baseball. They want to be number 1, though.
And money doesn't win championships, as the Mets clearly indicated. But you also have the 14th in the Tigers, 17th lowest payroll in the Brewers, 19th in the Reds, and the 26th lowest payroll is the Guardians. I mean, you've got four teams there that all have a legitimate shot,
exactly,
I think, of advancing, and they're not spending huge money.
How about the Guardians? 15 and a half out on July 6th. Now they've won the AL Central.
Crazy.
15 and a half out, and they've won the AL Central. And the Tigers, the team that they beat, is the team that they're playing in the wild card.
Yeah.
Red Sox, Yankees, going to be fun.
Yeah.
National League, you got Cubs, Padres at Wrigley, should be great. And then, as you mentioned, Dodgers, Reds, with the Brewers and Phillies having a little time off. I don't love that if I'm a fan of those teams. I don't like time off. Nope. I think that you should be able to work out, get some things going. You know, don't stiffen up now. Yeah. Mariners and Blue Jays get a little time off. I guess to get healthy is one thing, but, man, I'd want to be playing if I were those teams.
When did the Blues start?
Yeah. They just played Saturday. They took on the Blackhawks, exhibition home opener for them. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good. I missed the wild card game where it was one and done.
Yeah.
One game for all the who moves on. Now they got the 3-game series.
Best of three. It stays in the same park.
That way.
Stays in the same park.
Yep.
So who am I picking? No idea. I guess if I had to pick one right now, I love what the Phillies have. I think the Phillies have tons of power, a lot of stars up and down the lineup. And on the American League side, who could deny the Mariners right now? They look awesome. They've got the best home run hitter in the game right now in Cal Raleigh, and they've got tons of pitching. Pretty fun what's going on up there.
Yeah. All right.
It's going to be a great postseason.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Good to see you. We're going to be back here in just a minute.
How much of the Ryder Cup that I watched?
Zero. Because I didn't get back until late Saturday from our trip, and I didn't watch any media when I was in Europe. And then I just basically, between sleeping in and unpacking and all that, I didn't watch any of it. My son updated me on the fact that the Americans made a dramatic comeback, but it still wasn't enough. The media I did see on it, though, was how obnoxious the fans were to the European players. And I got to be honest with you, I don't get that. And Tom was leaving the room there, I said, what was your reaction to that? He goes, it was disgusting, and I think the only answer is not to ever have it in New York again.
Yeah, well, they get the U.S. Open coming up,
I know.
Yeah, so the same ruckus fans are going to be there for the U.S. Open. But, yeah, I just thought the American team, you know, Chambeau, a few of the others were also mouthy. There was a lot of trash talking going along, but you know, from the captains to the players to the venue to the broadcasters, it was just kind of an embarrassment to the game, I felt, at least for Americans. I just think our fans were pretty deplorable.
It was not a good look, I didn't think. I don't know I know they make a lot of money off of it, so what they're not going to do is suspend it.
Oh, no. It's
because they make too much money off of it.
It's such a popular event.
But what do you think that they do about just changing the rules and just telling everybody and just putting it right on the ticket? If you're disruptive and rude to the players, you could be removed and you're will not be allowed back in.
Dude, they would have had to throw thousands of people out. I am talking, but they were chanting
if you warn them in advance more sternly, I didn't hear any of those warnings this time. We're not going to put up with that at the next Ryder Cup. We will have people in the audience looking for you, and you might just get a tap on the shoulder and be escorted out.
The PA announcer was leading a couple of the chants
in the middle
of it.
Well, I know, and she had to retire.
Yeah, she got fired
Resigned.
For it. Yeah.
She got fired for it, basically.
Yeah, I just think keep it out of New York. You'll be okay.
You think it's New York?
I just think it's
not just a New York thing.
Yeah, well, unless you're, you know, down in the Arizona, what's the one?
Yeah,
where
the Republic one or whatever.
The other waste management.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Waste management.
Oh, that's a drunk fest.
But that's,
isn't it?
But it's designed. That's their fault. Yeah. It's designed to be that way, and the players know what to expect going in, that it's going to be a free-for-all, and the fans are allowed. That's one tournament a year where if you want to go get ruckus, it's like rugby meets golf. It's like outrageous.
Have you been down there?
Oh, yeah. I went about 7 years ago. And it's gotten more outrageous since then. Actually, a friend of mine's son was on national television. He took down to his underwear, sprinted across
the fairway on national television and did a swan dive into one of the lakes.
I think I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
It was your buddy's
It was a friend
son?
Of mine's, actually, my corporate attorney in Kansas City. It was her son. Proud moment for a mom.
Oh, my gosh.
Very proud moment for that mother. She was like, unbelievable. She sent me a clip going, oh, my gosh. Look what my son did. And he got arrested for that little
thing. Well, of
thing.
Course he yeah. did.
Good I'm thing sure. his mom's a good attorney.
I'm sure so, he did.
Yeah. So, but yeah, but that's designed to be that way. The Ryder Cup has always been a respectful, you know, incredible event between two, you know, between European golfers and American golfers. And it's just a shame.
Well, you know, I will make this comment. I just got back from 10 days in Europe. We were in Prague. We were in Vienna then, and then we went to Budapest, and we took a bus between all three of those cities, which are, you know, 4 or 5 hours apart in total, and stopped in a lot of small towns. And, you know, I don't speak Czech, and I don't speak Hungarian, and I don't speak German. Almost everybody in all of those towns did speak English.
Yep.
I was able to communicate with them, and I really can't say that we weren't mistreated by anyone in Europe
That's
for
great.
Being American. I think they appreciate tourists, number one, and we really didn't ever, except one restaurant we went to where after we walked in it looked like a little local place, and then they refused to seat us and told us they only take reservations. And I kind of think they didn't want tourists in there, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But other than that, it was a fantastic experience. And I would highly recommend it for people. Guidester Travel is the one we went with. And I mentioned this earlier. Starting in January, we'll start talking about this more on the air. We're going to do a trip next year at the end of September to Switzerland. And it's going to be awesome. I've always wanted to go to Switzerland.
What
been a
time of year
list.
Will that one be? Probably.
September 30th.
Okay. So another fall trip. Because yep. I know most people who go to Switzerland go during ski season.
It'll be right at the beginning of ski season, I think.
Okay.
Although I'm not a skier.
Yeah.
So I'd rather sit in the lodge and drink and watch somebody else break their leg.
Skiers say Thank it's you. The best in the world.
Oh,
like
I've heard.
The Alps there are just remarkable.
I've heard. So. Into September next year, you'll have your opportunity. We'll be talking more about it probably first week of January. So if I get more details before then, I'll let you know.
So good having you back, brother.
Thank you, my man.
Awesome.
I appreciate you filling in while I was gone and helping out with Ryan Recker and everyone else. And, yeah, we're back. It was a well-deserved vacation for me. We needed that.
Absolutely.
That was great. Wife and I had a great time. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.